podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Talkin' Cop. We're here for another full-time match reaction, and as it is finished at Goodison Park, Everton 2, Liverpool 0. I'm your host, Matt. I'm joined tonight by Ashley, and returning for the first time in a while, and boy, you've picked a good one, Chris Brack, back to do another full match show. Great timing, Chris.
I know, yeah, can't wait.
We all really screwed up by not following Kev's example and just spending the week in Spain, because that seems infinitely more enjoyable than what we're about to endure for the next next 45 minutes. Ashley, how are you tonight?
It could be better.
Chris, the jinx. I'll actually put some effort in tonight. So, you know, that's one up on Liverpool today. So,
yeah, it's got to be, I don't know, a bit of a somber show, a bit of an angry show, but I do think we should give some shout-outs because it is a celebratory day for the Liverpool family. New members of the Gakpo, Nunez, Salah, Szoboszlai families, because none of them showed up because they were all in the maternity ward. Unfortunately, only actually one of those people was missing today because of a legitimate reason, like the birth of their child in Cody Gakpo, but Oh boy. I mean, Ashley, that's pretty much our first choice 11 that we fielded out there today. If you were asked at any given point throughout the season to pick the strongest Liverpool 11, half decent chances that you end up with the 11 that we started with today, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's arguments that you could make for, you know, Endo getting in there or, you know, but yeah, by and large, I think that's probably our first 11, but I don't think it's our in-form 11.
No. Yeah, it's certainly not our in-form 11. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if we have to pick three strikers out of five, the two that were closest to resembling in-form in Diogo Jota and Cody Gakpo were unavailable. I guess Diaz wasn't bad as well. But I mean, Chris, you look at their lineup, you know, they got Ben Godfrey at the back, Mikalenko. They go with Garner in the middle of the park instead of Andre Gomez. Were you positive beforehand, at least?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was messaging Kev, but I said, I thought we'd win, but I said, I think it'd be a scrap, because the Goodison away game is always a bit of a scrappy one. You know, I think Klopp's record there is like five draws and two wins before today, a lot of nil-nils. So, but we were just too slow. The passing was too slow. And unfortunately, we look a bit like Arsenal last season. It's with a lot of the players have just run out of steam, ran out of form at the wrong time. It's just all caught up a little bit. So I think new manager coming in next season anyway, regardless. So I think we'll see some tweaks. I'm pretty certain we'll see, you know, lots of shouts for sell him, get rid of him. The side's probably not as far away as people think, because let's be honest, we've got within five games of before we're out of a league title race. So there isn't masses of tweaks needed to keep it there, but tweaks will be needed, and there'll be some big decisions made in a few players. I'm probably quite resigned to it. You know, I haven't really, I can't really see. I'm particularly pissed off now. It's kind of over. It's done. I have some grievances with a few players. I think too many big name players now. Talk the talk, have them walk the walk. One of them wears the armband, and actually, to be fair, barely getting a mention. It's the usual suspects: sell Salah, sell Nunez, sell Konate. Your captain again did the big talk for the game, didn't do it. Did the big talk for the Arsenal game, didn't do it. He's kind of got to lead a little bit by example. He spent too much of today getting embroiled in shit that you need to get embroiled in. It was too easy to wind him up. And unfortunately, in hindsight, all the players coming back from injury look great, but they're out of rhythm, and they look out of rhythm. So, listen, Everton had a game plan. It worked, which was go long, play behind Liverpool, and play for set pieces. And unfortunately, Liverpool just did not react, and we just didn't see the reaction all game. At no point did it really come, especially second half. It was pretty limp. It was very Palace at home.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned Everton coming in with a game plan. I mean, Thor, the dyslexic polyglot, easier for them to say than me, says ref was awful, but the Reds were worse. I'm not angry, just disappointed. And I mean,
but you got to react to that.
You know, do.
If you know it's a ref that's going to give what you think is soft free kicks, then stay on your feet. Don't play the game. Don't get involved in it.
I don't know if any of the free kicks we gave away were from sliding into tackles or anything like that.
But you know what they were for. It was any sort of physical nudge. They were looking for that. So don't do it. You know, you rose to the bait, and you should have learned that in the first 5 minutes. That's what was going to get given. Adapt to the situation. That's what you pay to do.
Yeah. You would think so. I mean, I don't know if you have any notes from the first 5 minutes, Ashley. I had some streaming issues on my end, so by the time I got logged in, it was pretty much just in time to see us concede a penalty, which ends up not being a penalty, but I maybe should have taken that as important to not watch. How did we start the match from the opening whistle in your eyes?
I mean, Decore had a shot wide that could have quite easily gone in. It was wide, but there was an opening there in, I think it was 2 minutes and 45 seconds. So typical us giving them a shot at goal, at least in the first 5 minutes. And then, yeah, the penalty was, I guess, sort of an omen of things to come. Yeah, it was offside, but still, you know, it was all too easy just to get through our defense.
Yeah. And I mean, this is Shane McCall here says, they bullied us all over the pitch. We're not up for the fight. No hunger at all, but it's been that way for a while now. It's like last season all over again. I mean, the only issue with that being is that last season for the final 10 games, we were actually quite good. And this season, it seems like for the final 10 games, we're going to be quite shit. Quite shit. I don't even know if I have the heart to go through this minute by minute, especially because we'll have another match before there's another flagship show on a Sunday night. I mean, do we want to just go through who was the worst? Is that an easier way of doing this, Chris? Because
I think in the first half,
we didn't do much. We didn't do much.
I think in the first half, Diaz was lively.
Yeah.
That's about it. You know,
Trent played a couple of nice balls.
Yeah, Salah wasn't great, but he did set up the two best chances of the game. One is the cross that Godfrey does well to clear off near the line, and sets up Nunes to smash it dead hard at the keeper, which is clearly the sign when he's just out of form. That's what he does.
Yeah, it's another game where Darwin Nunes and his forward counterparts have just been completely profligate in front of goal, and I don't think there's any excuses for it. I don't even know if there's any explanations for it, Ashley, but it's just, we had some half chances. We had some better than half chances today. The Nunes one is probably the pick of the litter. I mean, Trent found him a couple of times with really incisive balls from the middle of the park, right down the middle of Everton's defense. And his first touch was poor. The one, it hits him in the feet. It ends up bobbling to Salah, who's just absolutely having a mare.
He's bang up.
How about the midfield, Ashley? How did you feel that our midfield did? Because I think we can all agree that our forwards, you know, Diaz was lively and flitted around the edges a bit, but they're not putting the ball in the back of the net. How did you feel about the midfield performance?
I mean, I think I'd have to go further back than the midfield to find someone that performed well today. I might have to go past the defense to find someone that performed well today, to be honest. I was shocked with McAllister. I feel like the saying is that when McAllister has a bad game, we have a bad game. And today I felt like he could not, for at least for the beginning of the game, string two passes together.
Yeah, it kind of took all the emphasis out of the game then, didn't it? Because he's the tempo setter. I mean, Jones in general first half was neat and tidy with the ball, but nothing incisive. And I'll be honest, Szoboszlai, I generally forgot he was on the pitch. I really forgot he was on the pitch.
Yeah, it's for me that
Brian's right. Kev has dumped me right in it. He's good like that. That's why I'm not on this weekend. I'm not getting drunk with a load of Edertonians. So that's gonna be fun, isn't it?
I'm telling you, Kev O'Sullivan is sitting with his feet up poolside right now, just cocktail after cocktail, just enjoying life, getting a nice tan. The midfield three that I'm hoping we get to see now, I wanted to see it coming into this match, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. But now, given the fact that the title is done and dusted and none of our business anymore, I would like to see a midfield three of Endo McAllister and Harvey Elliott get a go. They had a small run in the team when both Szoboszlai and Jones were out injured. And even though they're three quite diminutive players, I felt that they linked up quite nicely. And Elliott at least gives you some of that drive that's on the pitch. Because, yeah, right now, Chris, like, Dominik Szoboszlai just looks like he can't wait for the end of the season to come.
Yeah, he's not come back in the last month. I've just not been right. But they seem to just like Elliott as an impact sub, which, to be fair to him, he does normally do fairly well. I mean, it's a bit of a shit show for him to come into today to do that. But the midfield that was picked, I can kind of understand it, because Endo has also been a bit out of form off the ball. Gravenberch's been so in and out. You know, he had a good second half against Fulham, but he was quite off it in the first half against Fulham. So it's hard to really sort of pick a midfield where you can go, you're comfortable. Jones come back from injury and still hasn't looked quite himself, but he's been out for a little while. So it's difficult, really. But, I mean, we should be fine for top four, which is a weird place to be when you've gone from a tight race to, oh, God, we're going to get top four. We'll probably need about two more wins, and I think we're probably okay.
Yeah, but 79 points. 79 points guarantees top four.
Yeah, so, you know, that's got to be the aim. So I agree with someone in the chat earlier. Weird subs. Subs were very odd today. And
they were extremely defensive.
It sort of reminded me a bit of, do you remember Dalglish's last season in his first stint? 4-4 draw with Everton. And he just looked like, when you look back to Fisher, he just looks lost. It looks like he's not there. Klopp just looked like he was done. You know, which is sad to see, but he just looks like he's also ready for the end of the season.
Yeah,
which is sad to see.
One thing on our midfield, just something I was pondering. You know, we talk all the time about us having a brand new midfield, and how well we've done with having a brand new midfield. But one thing is, none of our, like, most of these midfielders have never gone a full season with Klopp, and they don't necessarily have the endurance, I guess, maybe, to go a full season in a Klopp midfield. I mean, it's a hardworking, dogged midfield. And I just feel like there's something going on where all of these guys are falling off of cliffs at the same time. And they're all new. And I don't know if that's lack of preseason for, like, Gravenberch, for example, or just in general, just unfamiliarity with the Premier League and the intensity. I think that's kind of what's happening with Endo and with Szoboszlai. It just feels like there's too many of them that are falling off, and I just don't know if it's because of, like, an endurance thing and just an unfamiliarity of, like, what's required in a Klopp midfield to kind of get things over the line. Because when you think about last, like, when we had a good performance at the end of the year, we had Thiago, like, dragging us over the line. And he had a string of about 10, 12 games that he really, really stepped up. And it's like, we're just missing that one guy to just take us over.
Yeah. It's a really good point.
You threw this quote up here from Van Dijk, Ash, and we'll just deal with it right now. He says, everyone has to look in the mirror at their performances if they really gave everything, if they really want to win the league. And I mean, self-referential, hey, Chris?
I was going to say, look at, I think you need to start with yourself, Virgil. He wasn't the only one, but didn't have to say, you know, when was the last time you saw Virgil really get into, like, arguments with the referee or getting involved in tit-for-tat stuff? You know, he did that against Newcastle away and then sort of learned from it. And, I don't know.
How does he get a yellow card? He's the captain. He's the captain, right? And I get it. You can't have dissent, but the captain is supposed to be allowed to speak to the referee. So, like, I presume he must have said something derogatory.
I think the ref pointed like that, as if, like, it was accumulation of niggly fouls he given away
on Virgil.
So, yeah, I think so. I think he might have also swore at him as well. But yeah, Captain's fine, but, you know, if you swear, you'd have to do that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we say that Virgil could have played better, but I mean, actually, I would say he played better than Ibu Kanate, who got absolutely dominated through most of the time he was on the pitch by Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Kind of a throwback to his poor, poor performance under the long ball against Scamacca in the home leg of the Europa League versus Atalanta. I mean, we talked about the subs and how they were very defensive. I mean, it was three defenders, a defensive midfielder, and Harvey Elliott that were our five substitutions. But the Kwanzaa for Kanate one was better because I thought actually Kwanzaa performed half decently when he came onto the pitch. You know, he put that one blood and thunder tackle in, which you like to see in a derby. But Ashley, teams are clearly happy to let Ibu Kanate have the ball and target him under the long ball. And I don't know what's happened to him because he used to be so dominant even months ago.
I don't know if he's fit. I feel like he's been playing half fit since he came back a couple of months ago, or not even months ago. It was weeks ago. Neither him nor Virgil could win a header for anything. I've never seen such a non-dominant performance by both of those guys, especially Virgil. I don't think we won a single header off of a corner. I don't know what the stats are. I was just trying to figure it out. But
we probably did after it was 2-0, so it didn't matter then.
It was shocking. Like, every single time they got a corner, they were first to the ball. We didn't win a single one. I don't even know if, Kanate was bad, but Virgil was just as bad. I would say Kwanzaa was the pick of the bunch just for that defensive tackle. Like, that was the best part of the game, you know? And that's,
yeah,
boy, a sad that's indictment on the whole thing.
Yeah, that's saying something. Aiden 91 says Trent made two brutal attempts at headers for both goals. So let's go through the first goal, Chris. I mean, I believe I described it as a fuster cluck because it was just a disaster. I mean, the free kick comes in from out wide. Szoboszlai loses the first header, and then it comes to Trent at the edge of the box, and he just misses it. And then
he comes back out to
Tarkowski plays an incredible hook and hope ball, reminiscent of the one that Casemiro played in the middle of the park to set up there. I think it was Anthony's goal, maybe, in one of those fucking games that we absolutely choked against Manchester United. But Tarkowski just hooks it with his right foot, and it goes out to, I think it was Harrison, crosses it into Godfrey. Ball just kind of bounces around the box, and Branthwaite.
It also comes, if you watch it back, McAllister has a chance to clear, and he slices it straight to him. You know, so McAllister should clear it. It's about four attempts where he could get cleared. And it's nitpicking, but I think the goalkeeper will be disappointed. I think he'll think he should have saved it. You know, but
it dives past it a bit.
Yeah, so I mean, but there's four other times it should have been cleared. I'll be honest, I messaged Kevin and said, it's just what we deserved. We just didn't get going. We were just so limp and slow. And this way you do have to question sometimes, what's the prep pre-game? What's the plan pre-game? Because it must be to be controlled and slow and build up, which is fine because plenty of teams do it. But there's control slow, but we just look non-existent, and I think so you can only come back so many times, and yeah, but you hope for a reaction. It came a little bit with a couple of chances, but all game it's just the whole game just felt off. Everything about Liverpool felt off, you know, so summed us up really.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's the 15th time in 34 Premier League games and 22 out of 54 games in all competitions this season where we have gone behind at least 1-0. And yeah, you got through the first 15 minutes. All right. And maybe taking the crowd out of it a little bit. And then as soon as that goal goes in, it's like, son of a bitch, this is going to be exactly what Sean Dyche would have hoped for in his dream of dreams. And then, you know, 35 minutes, we get the Darwin Nunez chance where he's just got to fucking score. Like, I love defending our players because they play for Liverpool and I want them to succeed. But man, at a certain point, dude, you got to just put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah. Lack of composure again. Absolute lack of composure. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, late in the half, Mo shoots directly at another Everton player again. It's another poor performance from him. I mean, we get into halftime and it's 1-0 and you try to put on a bit of a happy face, but it was all around shocking, Ashley. And you look at the bench, we've got no senior strikers on it. You know, you hear people saying, ah, you got to give Dan's a chance, but
you may as well 15th to go, though, to be fair. What else do we have to lose at that point?
Well, I mean, I think at 15 to go, don't we try to close up shop by bringing on two fresh fullbacks, which...
Honestly, it's just wild.
Well, we've been praising Klopp's use of substitutions all this season. It was one thing that was kind of a stick to beat him with throughout his tenure with Liverpool. And this season, for the most part, like I'd say 19 out of 20 games this year, he's absolutely knocked it out of the park with his substitutions. And these ones today were baffling. They were baffling. The second goal, Ashley, the Trent can't defend brigade has a whole brand new box of bullets to use, because that is pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic from the vice captain, from a born and bred Scouser in a derby, you know, still with dreams and aspirations of being in and around the top of the league come the final match day of the season, to completely do nothing from that corner kick and allow Dominic Calvert-Lewin to rise up and bury the ball. Like, I have a real tough time accepting that from a player like Trent.
Yeah, from Trent and also from Salah, who like lost the ball in midfield that led to that corner. He got bullied by Ashley Young.
That
was ridiculous.
That
like,
was
that's
really...
how you know that Salah is so far off form. He's getting what is Ashley Young, like 38 years old?
38.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. I mean, those are two of our leaders. I mean, we've talked about Virgil and basically his petulance today. And now we're talking about Salah and we're talking about Trent. Like, those are your big hitters, and they were embarrassing. They were all embarrassing.
Yeah, it's Jonathan figures that the Trent can't defend brigade was proven right a long time ago. The counter argument to that I would make is, with the exception of Kyle Walker can run really fast, I kind of noticed this year that there's not a lot of great defending right backs out there. You get a lot of them.
Yeah, it's just easy sticking it. But also, Calvert-Lewin actually peels off and gets between Van Dijk and Trent. And again, Van Dijk spent too much time moaning and he was getting blocked off instead of just doing what he normally does, which is go for the header. Between the two of them, it was piss poor. You know, Van Dijk mark about being blocked off. Guess what happens in every corner? All the time. It's not
if he's getting blocked off, though, that can't then be his man. Because there is another man there. It's not like he was 2-1.
He can see the header come, but he's too busy moaning to then go, oh, shit, I need to go and get the header now. Go for the header first, moan afterwards. You know, but it was just limp. I can't put it in another way. I mean, second half, did we, apart from Diaz at the post, did we really create much else? There was a lot of crossing, but half chances. And yeah, the subs were just mad. Absolutely mental.
Yeah, the move from Diaz on the 69th minute, I mean, that's about the only thing that kind of got me up and off the seat in this whole entire match, with the exception of Kwanzaa's slide tackle, because that's something that you always do kind of like to see in this. We had no lack of set pieces. We had no lack of balls thrown into the box, but like...
No one attacking it. And delivery was poor.
Yeah. The thing I think that bothered me the absolute most about this game, Chris, was I can get Darwin Nunez, you know, missing sitters, you know, all strikers miss chances, but the counter argument to that has always been like, you know, look at the running that he does and look at how much busy work he makes the opposition center have to do because he's constantly tying them up. There was none of that today.
There was none of that today. He was non-existent. But to be fair, I think Diaz was the only one who actually did anything at the front three. The other two didn't do a lot. Szoboszlai was very, very quiet. Elliot, when he came on, was ineffective. You know, he's been good for us, Elliot, but even at 2-0 down, why are you bringing Endo on? I've got nothing against the fella, but Gravenberch could pick a pass, you know, and he's you know,
and he playoff just scored.
He just scored. Playoff that, you know, go may as well go for broke and lose 3-0 having a go than just limp into a 2-0 because and it's nothing against Endo. It just it's a bit of an odd sub when you're 2-0 down. And a side that's not scoring many goals. Endo isn't known for scoring that many. It's not his game, you know, but Gravenberch could. You know, so it's just yeah.
You can kind of understand the bringing Endo on because it allows you to push McAllister forward. Like, that's the only side of it that I can see. And then it comes back to the notion, and somebody said early on in the chat, and I forgot to save it, that we still need that center defensive midfielder that we needed in the summer. And, you know,
We need one who's probably better on the balls.
Yeah.
Because then you don't, the luxury of McAllister and Six is not needed as much.
Precisely. And I mean,
but we'll see what the new manager is going to do because, you know, there will be tactical tweaks, I'm sure. But the benefit of the apparent manager we're getting is he's similar stylistically to Klopp. Still different, but that probably suits the squad we have rather than flipping to the chap from Sporting who likes to play very much three at the back. And nothing wrong with that, but we'd have to probably buy two or three more defenders. And there's a few players you got, I don't know if they work in a 3-4-3. So there is that.
There's a few players currently that you'd have to be questioning whether they work in a 4-3-3 because, I mean, three at the back doesn't sound so bad considering the fact that we can't keep a clean sheet anymore. And it's ridiculous. Scouser Pete says, if we go with that Arne Fella as our new manager, he's going to be left with a slot to do. So I just purely for the wordplay alone, I mean, they got to bring him on board just for that, if nothing else.
Back of a slot will be coming out in all sorts, won't it?
Yeah. Dexter Baker with a £5 super chat says, it doesn't matter which manager we get next season. Once we have Nunes as our main striker, we will never win the league if you understand football. So thank you very much for the super chat, Dexter. After YouTube takes their cut, that money will go in to help our charities out, which as you can see on the screen is Fan Supporting Food Banks in Liverpool and the Lighthouse Cafe in Dublin. You'll always find the link to the GoFundMe page for our charity partners in the description of any of the shows, whether you're on your podcast or on YouTube. You'll also find the one there for Phil Casey's Quest 5 for 5, where he's trying to raise 5,000 euros for the Laura Lynn Children's Hospice in Dublin. Please, if you can, donate to these causes. Share a little bit of money if you got some to donate. You're feeling generous between the two charities. If you can't, take it into your social media. Share it along with people. Let them know what we're trying to do over here, and we'll just keep banging away trying to get that 10,000 euros raised for our two charities, and Phil will keep cycling world record amounts of cycling. It's 60 miles uphill and only 20 miles back downhill. I couldn't quite figure out his math from yesterday on that. I would have thought for sure you'd have to go up and downhill the same amount, but I don't cycle.
Stop halfway.
There's another quote here from Virgil van Dijk that you have. It's a tough one. We have to do much better against a side facing relegation. And if we play like that today, we have no chance to consider ourselves in the title race. It's good that he got the armband because he seems like Captain Obvious with these quotes.
He seems like he doesn't know how many games are left in the season.
Yeah. I mean, to us, the problem is post-match, no matter what you say, you're going to get criticized. You know, if he tries to be positive, he's going to get called all sorts. If he's pretty obvious and like that, he's going to get criticized. You know, suck it up. I'm sure we'll see some Klopp quotes in it and they'll be dead obvious. It's not cool. It's not not what we wanted, you know.
Bad moments.
You know, we've got to be more intensity. We've got to be quicker than that. All the stuff we know. Yeah. You know, that sort of things.
Yeah, this comment, though, I've moved away from it now, from Daniel Sturridge that you shared with us, Ashley. I really like this one.
Yeah. Yeah, so he said in the post-match that it's a pride thing. Let's not get out-fought today. When you hear the captain concede that you got out-fought, it's not a nice thing to see. And that to me, I would rather Virgil come out and say that, to be honest. That's what I want to hear from my captain is, you know, we got out-fought today. I'm holding my hands up. Like, we should have shown more pride because there's a handful of games that, I mean, I'm not a local fan, but as a local fan, there's a handful of games I'd imagine that you absolutely have to stand up for these things. I mean, Chris should say this because I don't have the right to talk about it, but I cannot imagine what it would be like to have my local team not show up for this derby.
Oh, yeah, the WhatsApps are all bouncing and all sorts, yeah. But you just got to take it on the chin. You know, it's not nice, and that's why everyone's really upset, because, you know, a lot's going to get a lot. We'll get stick from our blue nose friends. But I'll be honest, this, I think if they got a fluky 1-0, we'd play quite well, that would hurt more. This one, I'm kind of quite cold to it, going like, we were shy. And we never looked like getting into it, and I can't really get... I don't know why, I just can't get really worked up over it. You know, I'm disappointed. I'm really disappointed because, you know, we've had a league title that's kind of, it's got out of a whimper. In fact,
buenos noches, Señor O'Sullivan. How you doing, Kev? Kev O'Sullivan checking in from poolside saying Sturridge hands down is the best pundit on Sky. That's pretty good spelling for a guy I presume has been drinking all day. So yeah. Good work, Kev. Yeah.
It's just a bit frustrating. It's been a bit of a whimper all month, hasn't it? You know, the way we went out the FA Cup, the way we went out the Europa League, and title challenge has gone in two games, really. So it's been frustrating. It's frustrating. My hope is, a bit like Arsenal have done this year, is you learn from where you fell short, make a couple of additions, and I don't think it's massive additions. You know, I may be proven wrong, but I don't think it's massive additions. And then you try again next season.
Yeah. Brian O'Halloran says, to be honest, we haven't had a settled 11 all season. We probably are the third best team in the league. Just saying effort and fight always get you more than ability. We lack the aforementioned. And you do have to have some ability, but you actually have to show it a little bit. I kind of agree with what you said, Chris. I think I can put my finger on it, why this isn't like a infuriating sort of thing. It's just because we were so insipid for so long. Like, it was very much the same sort of feeling I got in the second half of the second leg of the Atalanta tie, where it's just like, well, we're not doing this.
Like, it's not surprising. It wasn't surprising. That was the worst part. It was like, oh, it's this version of Liverpool again. You know, we have these little false dawns and we're like, oh, we're back. We're not back.
Yeah. Now Arsenal for Life is getting in early saying, don't be disappointed. The league isn't for everyone. You still have the Energy Cup. And then, of course, Anthony Boylan pointing out that you should probably be careful. You haven't actually won anything yet. So,
is it 20 years since they last won it?
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, they look absolutely dynamite at the moment. And, I mean, it helps when you have the best defense in the league.
It does. Yeah.
Defense wins championships.
But they still need City to drop points somewhere. And it's going to be very difficult to see where it is.
Yeah. Kev says, I'm not drunk, mate. I agree with Chris. Disappointed, but not surprised. We've hit a brick wall form-wise a month ago and haven't recovered. Too many out of form at the worst possible time. And yeah, I think you look at our form, our last five games is 2 wins, a draw, and 2 losses.
Yeah.
It's just a whimper. And that's kind of the real kick in the teeth about the whole thing.
I've seen in the chat plenty of also blaming Klopp's announcements. You know, that's when it settled in. So...
We were pretty good there for, you know, parts of November and December and January and February. So I don't know. Maybe it gave us a lift and now we're coming down off of it like some sort of strange emotional drug or something like that. But I do like to see there's a few people just trying to keep some head screwed on a little bit. Sam Tandy saying it's actually ridiculous. We were even in a title race despite all our injuries this season. It's crazy when you think about it. The fact just even Jota, Salah, Trent, Alisson missed that many games is mad. And yeah, that's something to keep in mind. But the real piss off about that, I would say, Sam, is that when those players were out, we were doing quite good. So
I get where Sam's coming from. And did we expect to be in a title race this year? No. My expectation this year was I thought we'd finish top four and we'd go deeper in the Europa League than we did. My frustration is, I'll give the example of Leicester didn't expect to be in a title race when they won the league, but they got the opportunity and they took it.
Yeah.
This again feels like an opportunity missed, and an opportunity missed not in a great way, as in like it's ended in a whimper. Not like we took it to the last game of the season, we beat Wolves, but City pipped us by 2 points. You know, like we did 2 years ago. We go, yeah, like,
Robin Olsen played in net for Aston Villa.
It still doesn't feel great, but you go, but we took it to the last game of the season. You know, we made it a fight. This doesn't feel like a fight. And I think Arsenal felt like that last year. Most of Arsenal fans won't admit it. City got to put the feet up the last 2-3 games. And we didn't push until the end. That's where it feels a bit opportunity miss.
Yes, yes, it certainly does. Let's see. You got at least one quote in here from Klopp for us, Ashley. I mean, that's about the best he can say, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he, for those of you listening, he says, it was not good enough. I really feel for the people and I'm really sorry. I apologize for that.
Oh, that is not the tone of Jurgen Klopp post-match quotes that I quite enjoy. That's Roy Fitzgerald saying he knows that I have a list of questions ready for the next quiz. Rip up the script for the rest of the show. Let's kick off a quiz for the rest of the time. Yeah, there was some thoughts in the few minutes after the final whistle blowing and the show going live of like, did we just talk about random stuff? But no, we're all unpaid volunteers here, so we have to be professionals and come on here and try to pick through the bones of it. But it was shit. I mean, if we had to pick a man of the match, Chris, for Liverpool, who would you, who would get it for you?
Probably Diaz.
Yeah. Ashley, how about you?
Allison. He had one really good stop.
Yeah. Yeah. He made that save, I think, when it was 1-0 still and kind of kept us in. Nice save at the back post. I mean, to be fair, Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Tarkowski should probably bury that, but no, that was Calvert-Lewin. I mean, no, he made another one too from Tarkowski. That one was not hard. Well, that was going to be my thinking, was you give it to Kwanzaa. It could go to Mrs. Gakpo, who was putting in more labor than anybody on the pitch did tonight. So yeah, not good. I mean, we've got the early kickoff on Saturday, don't we? Another away game, fourth final game of the Jurgen Klopp tenure, fourth final game of the season.
And the problem now,
would you like to see?
Yeah, what do you want to see for that?
Well, I want to see the performance we saw against Fulham, which, apart from the last 10 minutes of the first half, was actually fairly controlled, which was the right mix of aggression, but, you know, keeping it under wraps and, you know, people doing what you'd expect them to do. That Fulham performance is probably what we needed today, you know. But, I mean, I think the two fullbacks will stay in. I think he'll still play Virgil. He'd give Kwanzaa a go because, I mean, we all know Kanata can't do two games in a week anyway. But on current form, doesn't feel like much of a loss. Endo probably is DM. McAllister in the eight. Other side, either Gravenberch or Elliot. I think you'll go with Gravenberch for height because West Ham are a big side. If you do Elliot, Endo, McAllister, there's not much height there. And then up front, Gakpo, Diaz, and literally Flipper going for the one. Probably Salah, just because of seniority. But Darwin's bang out of form. I mean, Salah's not much better. And we haven't quite secured top four, so you don't want to quite put that pressure on young Dans yet. But I'll be honest, if we're chasing the game at the moment, give Dans a run out, because why not? But otherwise, there aren't really many other options really to throw in because of injuries and form. Because I don't think Tsimikas is... I think Tsimikas might be one that's sold in the summer just to use his funds to go somewhere else. But I can't really think of else you're going to throw in. Bajetic will be fit. So...
Yeah, no, it's what about you, Ashley? I kind of agree with a lot of Chris's 11 there. I think the defense will be what finished out there tonight. And that midfield, I would go with Harvey Elliott. I mean, at a certain point, he just has to have earned a start.
Yeah. I mean, he played, I mean, well, relatively today in terms of at least he had a little bit of like progressive passing. He looked like he was trying to make something happen. There were so many other people that were just passing the ball back and forth and back and forth. So yeah, I would be on board with that. I think, so the thing with Fulham is I think we looked at that. We were like, oh, there's a lot of changes. I think we needed those changes for the fresh ideas and for the players that they were playing for something. These guys that came in today, they didn't give me any indication that time off did them any good or that they were playing for anything. They were like, oh yeah, we're just back to business. I actually would have rather the starting 11 from Fulham started today. Granted, I mean, you couldn't have pulled Gakpo away from his duties, but I would have rather that have happened just because I think that there was more control there. It wasn't quite as flashy and it didn't have our standard starting 11, but I just don't think those guys are doing enough to justify their place right now.
Yeah, it's Sam Tandy says, I think Salah still has an injury, to be honest, but he's played through knowing there isn't many games left this season. It'll all come out at the end of the season.
I don't think he's injured, but I think it's the longest he's ever been out of an injury. And I think he's taking his time adapting back to it. Some players were like that. Michael Owen, he's taken 4 or 5 games to get back into any sort of type of form after a hamstring injury. Salah's never had one this bad before. So, but he's actually, when we get in the ball, his picks for passing's quite good, because obviously he's set a Darwin and all that, but it's just his all-round play. It's just, other than that, it's off, and
He's so slow at the moment. Like the turnover for the I believe it was the second Everton goal where Virgil passes him the ball. He should be more than quick enough to beat Ashley Young to that ball. He should be more than strong enough to outmuscle Ashley Young for that ball in the middle of the park. And he's just not. Like he's not popping out as quick as he used to when he's got the chalk on his boots and whoever it is, whether it's Kwanzaa or Trent or McAllister, is trying to play that ball out to him to bring him into play, and you start that little rotating triangle thing. He just seems to be on his heels all the time. Like, he's not winning those 1v1 battles where, you know, normally he doesn't get the foul and they end up getting the ball anyways, but he's not even getting into those battles and looking anywhere close to winning them at all anymore. And it's just, this is my frustration, because I had him triple captained in a double game week. And so in a 6-person bucket league, I'm going to finish 6th and 3 of the people don't even watch footy. So it's a bit infuriating that I've got 9 points from.
Go on, shits and giggles, Matt. New manager. Current squad stays exactly as it is. You can add 3.
I can add 3 players?
You can add 3 players. What 3? What 3 are you doing?
Are a realistic 3 or?
Just 2 positions. I've got 3 positions in my head where I go.
I would use one of those positions to get a time machine and go back and sign Declan Rice. Because that's to me, that's the type of player. And somebody put the comment in half an hour or so ago, is that, you know, the difference between us and Arsenal is that Arsenal went out and signed Declan Rice and we signed Endo as our DM. Now, I don't think that's entirely fair, because they were signed to do different things. I don't think Endo was signed
they only needed Rice for their midfield, whereas we needed
right.
There was also that difference.
He has made such a massive difference, which is such a strange thing to say, considering that he replaced Granit Xhaka, who is currently playing for Bayer Leverkusen, who haven't lost a game all season. But it's just the job that he's doing in there. We desperately, desperately, desperately need another center half. It's like, that needs to get boxed off early, because if not, you're having to offer Joel Matip another contract extension, and we just know he's unreliable.
He's not going to be fit till October, November time, minimum, with an ACL. So, but I think you need a centre back, because Konate can't play 2 games a week, and you can't keep relying on young Kwanzaa, who I think is doing really well, but I think it's cruel to make him, right, he's your number 2, and that's it, off you go. If you've got to go for titles, because that's, to me, that's got to be the aim next year. Regardless of who the new manager is, and I'd have said this if it was Alonso, or I said this, whoever it is, the aim next year is get into a title race again and go deep in Europe. That's the minimum. That should be the minimum expectation. None of this, oh, if we get 4th and we do okay in the cups. No, no. The expectation should be get into a title race. So in April, we're still in it, which we pretty much are, which we were up until now, and go deep in Europe. So add players that are going to do that to you. Because it's not like this is a squad that's like, oh, we need 5 or 6 players just to get top 4, like when Klopp took over, like when Rafa took over. That mentality's got, should be gone. It should be now, what do we need to get us challenged again? Which to me is a centre-back, a DM, and another forward. Because you can't keep relying on Salah's goals all the time, even if he stays. You can't rely on Jota's fitness, and Nunes is erratic. So you need another forward. So to me, they're the 3 you sign. If you sign nobody else, just those 3, and you make do match with fullbacks, so be it. But I think that's what you want to do. That's what you have to go sensible or big.
Yeah. What about you, Ashley?
I think the areas are pretty glaring. The thing is, like, we have so much youth in our setup right now. We have lots of, like, up-and-coming left backs and right backs. We've got Pacetic. we've got players there to like fill in the squad. I think what we need is like the linchpins. Like we need like a Declan Rice. We need someone that's a guaranteed starter. And I think we need, like, remember how Fabinho was referred to as our lighthouse? We yes. need a lighthouse. We don't have one.
Is that because
right
we've
now.
Recently crashed onto the rocks?
Yeah, like we look adrift, and we don't have that kind of steady guiding force. And I think that Virgil needs a partner back there that's not just Kwanzaa. I don't think that we can depend on Konate as much as I'd love to, but I think we've seen enough that he's injury prone. So I think that we need a central defender. I think we need an absolute rock solid defensive midfielder. And yeah, I mean, whether it's a striker or a right winger, but someone with a goal output, I think we definitely need, and we need someone that's not almost like the antithesis of Nunez. Like, we don't need tons and tons and tons of shots. We need clinical finishing. Like, he doesn't, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who that fits that bill.
A left footed Jota is what you need to stay fit.
Yeah.
Because then that's the person who can play wide right. That's what I mean. But that means that someone who can, like, Jota can play wide left or plays in a nine, someone who can do the same the other side. Now, who that player is, I don't know. That's what you pay Michael Edwards for and Richard Hughes.
Yeah.
So many little flexible pieces up front. Like, I kind of want more of a nailed on. Like, someone
that's what Gav was saying in the summer was fewer Swiss Army knives and more like sledgehammers. Like, a sledgehammer has one purpose: smashing shit.
Yeah, we're saying in the summer, sign three specialists because you've got enough.
Yeah,
all the other players are flexible. You know, Szoboszlai can do 8, he could do right wing, Gravenberch can do left, he could do 10, he could play as a DM in a 2. McAllister plays DM, play DM at a 2, plays an 8. So we've got players who now can do multi positions. Trent can do multi positions. I think the concentration of summer should be specialists. But again, we're assuming this new manager is still a 4-3-3 guy. But if he's like a 4-2-3-1, then it's a slightly different mindset he needs there, because then it is slightly different players you need depending on what he wants.
And we're also, I mean, this is all based on the assumption that Arne Slot is going to be the next Liverpool manager, which, as far as I know, it's all still speculation.
I think when Paul Joyce tweets, we're interested, and Paul Joyce says we're negotiating, that's normally nice to pay a bit more attention, because Paul Joyce very rarely tweets unless there's something fairly concrete in it. Doesn't mean he's always right, but you are normally thinking, oh, there might be something in this then. Carvalho, Carvalho could be an option because he's doing
sort
well
of another Swiss Army knife, though.
Yeah, he could also be one, though. Yeah, but he could also be one where we all know our owners will have limitless money, so you do have to, where people like to buy to sell, they have to do it. Carvalho could just be someone that you can just flip. You know, we bought him for what, 12? He could probably flip to double that and then use that money to buy whatever, put that towards whatever we want to buy in that position. So. Oh.
It's like it's June already. Oh, boy.
That's what happens when you fall out the title race. We're a bit now like, well, okay, probably get a couple more wins. That'll get us top 4. That's it now. You know, it's a bit of an anticlimax, really, unfortunately. The season has become an anticlimax in a month, which is sad, unfortunately.
Thor's wondering if we'll have an emergency talking cop show when Adama Traore signs.
We haven't got shirts big enough to fit over his arms, I don't think.
No, I think he wears a small. I am pretty sure he wears a small. He just likes it to fit nice and
make his arms look that big.
Exactly. Thank you, everybody, for showing up in here for us tonight. I mean, it's always good to see the two Arsenal regulars popping in to have their quick little chuckles and then scurry back off and keep their fingers crossed. But it's all in good fun. It's all good.
Yeah. Imagine you finish second with their run. It'd be awful.
Yeah.
We know how that feels. We've done that exact same run. It's horrible.
I hope they lose on the very last day.
Yeah. What's this? A final one here from Klopp. Ashley says they had free kick after free kick. They had the ball. We had the ball, but they got the free kick. That's part of the story. That's part of the story. We were not good enough. And to me, that was the first one. I'm pretty sure that's what ends up with their first goal is that Diaz just wins the ball. And that's where Virgil picks up his yellow card from him. And it's just such a soft free kick. But hey, what else was soft was the quality of shite we were today, because we were soft, soft, soft. Oh, there's another one. Yeah, see, they're coming in late here. Klopp really didn't want to do his media duties right afterwards. He says they scored the second goal with the routine they did all season. We knew exactly where the ball was going, but we didn't defend it. Well, that quote begs a few questions from you there, Mr. Klopp, who also says, I am very disappointed about a lot of things. We let it happen, that it became the game Everton wanted. Two goals from set pieces. Everton are really strong from set pieces. He can borrow Virgil's Captain Obvious armband for that one. I know they were the top scoring team from set pieces before the game.
I think that's what hurts, because it's like, you know how the goals are coming and they're all avoidable.
Yeah.
But to be fair, we've said about a few goals this season. They're all very avoidable.
Yeah. Yes. But what is unavoidable is the joy you will get from giving £3.99 a month to become a member of the Talking Cop channel, because Gav seems to be popping up with just some random shows at random hours of the night. He was on at, 9:15 last night with Phil Casey, going through a little bit of impromptu Arne Slot talk. So if you like what we do here on the show, consider becoming a member. Get involved in the chat. Hit the thumbs up button on all that stuff. Oh, what do we got here? Another one from Klopp. He says, we had a bit of momentum after the Fulham game. The two strikers, one is injured, and one is hopefully now a father in Gakpo. So, yeah, see, there you go. Just think about all the joy. So Cody Gakpo better love that friggin' kid for having missed today's game. That's all I'll say about it. He better absolutely love his new child. I feel pretty safe in making that declaration. And then just finally, before we get things finished up, wrapped up and out of here, footballprizes.co.uk. This one might not be as hot a commodity as it could have been had he not been garbage today, but they have a very lovely Darwin Nunez signed and framed jersey that you can get. It's £3.95. The draw is open until Monday. Limited number of tickets, 16 instant win prizes. There's also a Torres jersey. There's a Jota. There's a Gakpo and an Emile Heskey, I believe, as well, that you can get. So check out footballprizes.co.uk for that. But
you were going to get like a match ball with Nunez, but he kicked it over the bar. So that's why you got a shirt now.
Oh.
You're about as accurate as he is. You know what I mean?
Match worn boots, but they look just absolutely brand
new. They look pristine. It's like they came out of the box.
Yeah, just absolutely brand new. You got anything else before we get out of here, Ashley?
No, I don't need to highlight anything.
Yeah.
They're all negative statistics, so we'll just skip them.
Yeah. Chris, how do you like Michael Murphy's just unbridled positivity? On a brighter side, Brighton beat City, Spurs beat Arsenal, and we are back in it.
Should we beat West Ham? Sorry, I can't.
You would have to score a goal for that to happen.
That's right. Well, it's the drive for 79.
People will get an oak.
Yeah.
On the positive side, 2 years today, the women got promoted from the championships. That was nice.
Oh, good.
How are they making out? I can't claim to be following them all that intensely.
We're currently level of points with Man United in United fourth. We're fifth on goal difference. So
very nice.
Second season back of the WSL. Highest points total we've ever got in WSL since it became a winter league. So, look, still miles behind Chelsea. There's still lots of work to do. But I think for your second season, progress-wise, I think it's big positive steps in the right direction. Summer's going to be interesting because I think there's a few... There'll be a couple of experienced players leaving the summer because I think contracts are up. We've got some quite exciting youngsters. So I'm intrigued to see who they bring in. But yeah, they've got a nice, easy game. The last home game of the season, we've got Chelsea at home.
Oh.
Which is going to be grand. Second to last game, because the last game at home, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. It's Man United at home. Because I've got a ticket to the Tottenham game. Now it doesn't feel quite as exciting as it did when I got the ticket. So.
Yes. On another note, Chris is also selling tickets for the Tottenham game. presumably then we'll have a year-end wrap-up show of the women's season coming from you towards the end of the year then?
Hoping so, yeah. I need to line a few things up.
Excellent. All right, well, The end of the year is coming quick, folks. It is coming quick. There's only four games that remain. We are on the drive for 79. So two more wins or Spurs and Villa dropping points, and we can secure our top four place and worry about playing in the expanded Champions League next year, because sure seems like the title is no longer any of our business. If it wasn't after we lost at home to Crystal Palace, it certainly is after we cross Stanley Park and lay an absolute egg at Goodison Park, allowing Everton to walk out the 2-0 winners. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you guys after the next show, bright and early for some of us here in North America with the early kickoff on Saturday, but in the middle of the afternoon for you folks over in Europe. Thanks for watching the Talking Cop. See you after the next match. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.